morning, yep. South America, James Party, Washington. Today's Tuesday, November 5th, the last day of voting here in the United States. And here are some of the stories we are covering. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris make their final push before Election Day.
I see a nation determined to turn the page on hatred and division and chart a new way forward.
Which party, Democrat or Republican, might benefit from the most from the female vote? We will speak with a Somali American who is running for the Minnesota House of Representatives in District Number 14A. We'll also talk live with VOA reporters stationed at the headquarters of Vice President Kamala Harris in Washington, D.C., and at former President Donald Trump's headquarters in Florida. Botswana's new president says the country's smooth transfer of power sets an example for other nations.
Botswana today sends a message to the whole world and says, democracy is alive here. Democracy is in action.
Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa.
Kamala Harris spent the last days of her campaign in the swing state of Michigan, meeting with voters at a Detroit chicken and waffle restaurant and speaking at a local church, where she said voters in her Democratic Party, commonly associated with the color blue, are being joined by voters from the Republican Party, who are associated with red.
I see a nation determined to turn the page on hatred and division and chart a new way forward.
Good morning and welcome to VOA's live coverage of the historic 2024 U.S. election. Here with me in our Washington studio is VOA's Carol Van Dam. Welcome, Carol.
Thanks a lot.
And later, we will be joined by our VOA correspondents in Washington, D.C. and Florida.
So voters in the United States finished casting ballots Tuesday to choose their next president. Political polls show candidates Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in a very close race. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has our story.
Kamala Harris spent the last days of her campaign in the swing state of Michigan, meeting with voters at a Detroit chicken and waffle restaurant and speaking at a local church, where she said voters in her Democratic Party, commonly associated with the color blue, are being joined by voters from the Republican Party, who are associated with red.
I see a nation determined to turn the page on hatred and division and chart a new way forward. As I travel, I see Americans from so-called red states to so-called blue states who are ready to bend the arc of history toward justice.
Donald Trump campaigned in the swing state of North Carolina, where he told supporters he's confident of an Election Day win.
We have a beautiful lead. All we have to do, Mike, all we have to do is go out on Tuesday and vote, vote, vote.
Trump told supporters that their opponents are already trying to steal this election.
They cheat in elections, and you call them on it, and they want to put you in jail. Think about it. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen, but I love it. You know why? Because we've proven something, we've shown something, and we're going to get it fixed, and we got to win this election.
At that rally, Trump again suggested violence against political opponents, this time the media. Harris says this election is about more than partisan politics and those who she says, quote, seek to deepen divisions, sow hate, spread fear, and cause chaos.
And I pledge to listen to people who disagree with me. Because, you see, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. In fact, I'll give them a seat at the table because that's what strong leaders do.
More than 75 million Americans have already voted in this election. That's nearly half the total who voted 4 years ago. Public opinion polls show a close race, with the closing New York Times Siena College survey showing voters equally split at 48% for both Trump and Harris. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Data from early voting indicate women have outpaced men in submitting their ballots by nearly 10 percentage points. What is motivating this trend, and which party, the Democrat or the Republican, might benefit? Don Teal is an associate professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. She tells me that while it is certain that most women are going to vote for the Democratic ticket, it is not clear whether more than half of white women are going to vote for the Democratic Party for the first time since 1980.
Well, I think it's the really big question of this election, both how big it's going to be and if it's going to be larger than it has been in the past in terms of turnout among women and the direction of women's votes. So two things to know are that women are the largest demographic group in the United States, and they cast the largest number of ballots overall. That's in part because their turnout rates have been higher than men's in presidential elections. But ever since the 1980s, 50% of white women have voted for the Democratic Party on average, and 50% have voted for the Republican Party on average. At the same time, the Democratic coalition is a majority women. And so the difference comes from women of color, who are adding to half of white women, the kind of Democratic majority. So we expect that the majority of women are going to vote democratically, but the big question is whether more than half of white women are going to vote democratically for the first time since 1980.
Is it because of the political party differences, or they're voting on issues?
I think it's both political party differences, and then the issue of abortion is on the ballot in, I think, 8 states. So many women have expressed concern about the politics of the Republican Party right now, at least the Republican Party headed by Trump, as being misogynistic and patriarchal and backward-leaning. So that's one reason they think that turnout among women is going to be very high. But also, just a couple of years ago, the sort of federally enforceable right to abortion was overturned. So Roe v. Wade was overturned, and that has galvanized a lot of women and men to push back against this and try to instantiate abortion rights in their state's constitution.
Professor, sometimes I see an ad on television about whether women can go into the election booth and secretly cast their ballot without letting their husbands know. I wonder if you've seen that, and what does that mean?
I've seen the ad. I think it was a fascinating ad because it was trying to say, it was trying to reach women in swing states especially who might live in conservative households or in conservative areas and say, your vote is your choice and nobody will know. And what many canvassers have reported, canvassers for the Democratic Party have reported in these swing states, I heard reports about this from Pennsylvania, I heard reports about this from Georgia, I heard reports about it from Nevada. In fact, my aunt had this happen to her in Nevada, that they asked to speak to the woman of the house, and the man who opened the door, ostensibly her husband, refused to let her come to the door, meaning that he's trying to control her vote. There have also been reports of polling station workers in the Carolinas having to announce that only one person is allowed behind each voting screen, and that specifically meant husbands were not allowed to follow wives in. And so it's actually, to me, one of the really big stories of this election is the idea that in some cases, men have been controlling their wives' votes.
Don Teal is associate professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland.
Joining us live here in Washington is our White House bureau chief, Patsy Wittig-Escuara. Good morning, Patsy. You will be stationed later today at Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign headquarters at Howard University. What would you say is the mood of the Harris campaign these last few hours before the final election day? And what is the connection, would you say, between the vice president's campaign and Howard University?
Well, to quote the campaign manager, Jen O'Malley Dillon, the mood is focused on staying calm and confident as the process goes through. So in their last briefing to press a couple of hours ago, the campaign noted recent polls showing undecided voters in battleground states potentially breaking towards Harris. They said that they are proud of their efforts in harnessing this, what they call this unprecedented grassroots organizing in battleground states. They also said that they are prepared to counter Republican attempts to suppress votes and claims of fraud. They are fully aware of issues surrounding election certification and legal challenges that almost certainly will come from the Trump side. And they say that Trump's tactics to sow doubts and spread misinformation will be countered with facts and evidence. Now, why did Harris choose Howard University? It's to highlight her personal and political connections to the institution. She's an alumna of this historically black college. She was shaped by her experiences here, where she developed her political views and forged ties within the black community, including through her sorority. So even though Harris rarely highlights her race during the campaign, Howard carries a symbolic significance because it has been long the center for African-American culture and activism and leadership. And her campaign says that this is a decision that reflects her commitment to minority communities, diversity, and inclusion.
Thank you, Patsy. That is VOA White House Bureau Chief Patsy Whitaker-Squara.
It's VOA Senior Correspondent Carolyn Presutti. Good morning to you, Carolyn.
Good morning to you, too, James.
Now, you are in West Palm Beach, Florida. What is expected to happen there where you are on Tuesday? And what does security look like there?
So, James, I'm about two blocks right now away from the Palm Beach County Convention Center, and that is going to turn into Trump headquarters tomorrow on our election day. In the afternoon, they will all be there, former President Trump, his aides, his staff members. They are calling it an election watch party, followed by a victory party. We don't know yet if he's going to be victorious, but that is how they are billing it. And that convention center will seat many of the media and also many of his supporters and volunteers and aides throughout this entire campaign. Today, I spent the entire afternoon there, and I watched many county and state workers put up the huge metal fences around the convention center. They're creating what they call a road tunnel in front of the convention center. Now, keep in mind, this is a presidential candidate who has had two attempted assassinations on his life. So that is why they're being extra careful with security. The Secret Service is indeed in charge, and this road tunnel will be reducing the number of lanes in front of the convention center from 4 to 2. And the only people that will be allowed to pull into the convention center will be the members of the media like us that have credentials to enter the center, and also those invited guests into the center. Otherwise, it'll just be traffic as usual, and there will be a lot of traffic, of course. There's also a polling center right across the street from the convention center, so it will be a crazy day here in Palm Beach.
Thank you so much again, Carolyn, for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
VOA Senior Correspondent Carolyn Presutti speaking with us live from West Palm Beach, Florida. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, November 5th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This programming note, VOA will bring you a special Daybreak Africa U.S. election coverage Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, beginning at 0400 hours UTC.
More immigrants are participating in the U.S. democratic process this election cycle. Abdi Daisane is a Somali-American who's running for the Minnesota House of Representatives in District 14A. He was born in Somalia and grew up in a refugee camp in Kenya. Daisane tells my colleague James Buddy that he's running to provide his constituents with the same opportunities given to him as a refugee.
I am running for Minnesota House of Representatives. The House of Representatives are coming from different districts. So I'm running a District 14A, which is about 4 cities in central Minnesota.
Why are you running for representative of District 14A?
Well, personally, growing up in one of the world's refugees camp, the hope of getting access to opportunities is something that really sustained. And when I came to United States of America 15 years ago, I was able to get opportunities and resources that helped me reach my goals. And I want to see that opportunities and access given to everyone in our community, you know, so they can have access to secure and stable housing, access to better education, access to security and safety, a better healthcare system. Basically, you know, access to opportunities that pave the way for a better life for everyone in our community. That's the main reason why I'm running.
As you said, you were in a refugee camp and now you are running for representatives in the United States. Now, what does this say to you about democracy and the entire U.S. system?
Well, I mean, it's really great. I mean, I value this democracy. I mean, this is voting is one of the fundamental tenets of the democracy. And when people are able to go out and cast their vote to someone that they know will do something great for the community, that's a powerful thing. And that's what we're trying to tap in here, because we know that our community needs a change. Our community needs a fresh perspective. Our community needs someone that cares about people, everyday people, to grow and prosper and wants to make that happen. So it's a great thing to have that democracy. It's not something that I heard growing up. You know, it's not something that was possible, as you know, growing up in a refugee camp.
Now, you are running as a what? A Republican, an independent, or a Democrat?
I am running as a Democrat. I was endorsed by the party in early March this year. It was a contested endorsement where another candidate was also running to get the endorsement. But we have organized and brought people together, and we were able to win in the endorsement.
Well, as you know, Tuesday is the day, the main election day. What do you think are your prospects?
We have a very high hope. The seat that I'm running, I will note, my opponent right now, she won less than 200 votes in the last election. So it's going to be a very close race. And we have put a lot of work throughout this year. We talked to a lot of people. We built coalition of supporters across the district and the state. We did a lot of work. So I'm very optimistic about the outcome.
That is Abdi Daisani, a Somali-American who is running for the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 14A. He was speaking with us from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Some Ugandans share their views about the U.S. elections with reporter Mugumi Davis Rakariji in Kampala.
Yes, they matter because, you know, U.S. being a superpower, and we, particularly Uganda, I think we earn about $1 billion in funding, so they do matter because the government that sits in power in the U.S. is in a way determinant in terms of funding, in terms of what we get as African countries from them.
Yeah, they do matter because we normally get most of the money from the Western world. So U.S. is one of the stakeholders that give Ugandans or our country donations through agencies, through NGOs. So we would love, because of our connection with them, because of the international relations with them, we wouldn't want to see somebody who would take over the presidency and does not take care of us. And Kamala being a black lady, and I being a black man here in Africa, in Uganda, I would love to see Kamala win because of that, because of the race.
Well, I think it goes both ways. Number one, America being like a great nation, us following is like, you know, who wouldn't want to follow American politics? So it would be great.
The U.S. election, they don't really matter to me. Maybe they matter to other people. But to me, they don't really matter. So the reason is I'm not that into politics. I am not a politician to know whether they matter or they don't matter.
We shouldn't even be concerned because that is USA. This is Africa. We have our own leaders. But most of the time, our leaders tend to be lenient and to be under the leadership of Americans because they get help from the whites. So I think that is where most of people come in, because they need the economical aid from the Americans.
I think everyone should be interested in the U.S. politics because majorly their policies affect everyone worldwide. Every country needs U.S. They are contributing in almost every aspect. You can look at so many countries. Even Uganda is getting a lot of aid from the U.S. So I think we need to get interest, and we learn from them.
I think the United States of America is a key partner in terms of development. The kind of funding that comes onto the continent, and Uganda in particular, should be a key direction for us to follow what kind of debate is happening in the election. The kind of president that comes on in the U.S. always determines what kind of funding comes to Africa or Uganda in particular as well.
The views of some Ugandans about the U.S. election, they spoke with reporter Mugumi Davis Brakarinji.
Botswana's newly elected leader, Duma Boko, says Africa can draw vital lessons from his country's smooth transfer of power. This after the Botswana Democratic Party, which had ruled the country since independence in 1966, suffered a crushing defeat in last week's elections. Bakondisi Dube reports from Gaborone.
Addressing the media after an official handover of office Monday, President Boko praised outgoing President Mokgweetsi Masisi for ensuring a seamless transfer of power. Boko's party, the Umbrella for Democratic Change, will form the next government.
Botswana today sends a message to the whole world and says, democracy is alive here. Democracy is in action. This is democracy in motion. This is democracy exemplified. Sent as an abiding lesson to the whole world, to say to the African continent, it must happen, it can happen, and when it does, it's one of the most beautiful experiences that a country can go through.
Masisi's former ruling Botswana Democratic Party was soundly beaten, winning only 4 out of 61 National Assembly seats. Analysts blamed mounting economic grievances, particularly among young people, for the party's downfall. The former president says he had a duty to ensure that the first change of government since 1966 was seamless.
I knew I had a responsibility to make sure that we set a standard, because we've never had a change of government, as in a different party taking over in this country. So the onerousness of the responsibility on me was massive, and I had to lead.
Masisi, who served only one out of a possible 2-5 terms, says he will not run for political office again. Pius Pigo at the Institute of Security Studies in Pretoria says the smooth transition in Botswana was expected.
And the fact that we've had an expedited and smooth transfer of power should really surprise no one given Botswana's pedigree. Of course, there are many lessons for the region where such reflections of pluralism are largely absent. So one hopes that there will be lessons learned.
Pigo says Botswana has always been a shining example of democracy in the region, backed by independent public institutions.
Notwithstanding the fact that Botswana has been ruled by one party for almost 6 decades until this recent election, it has nevertheless been held out as an example of good democratic practice, strong independent institutions, for the most part, in the Southern Africa region. There have been some concerns of late about compromise in those institutions, corruption and so forth, under the Masisi administration. But I think, by and large, what this election has showed is that the institutions have held firm.
Masisi maintains his hands are clean and will avail himself if he's called to answer for any supposed deviances while in office. Kondisi Dube for VOA News, Gaborone, Botswana.
And that's it for this Tuesday, November 5th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your morning with us. Tune in again in 30 minutes for more of VOA Africa's extended coverage of the U.S. elections. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew and my colleague Carol Van Dam, I'm James Botte in Washington. We'll be back in 30 minutes with more election coverage.
Africa presents the latest news about Africa and the world and its news summaries. Africa in Brief airs every day at 400, 500 and 600 UTC. Give us 5 minutes of your time to be brought up to date. Africa in Brief, your trusted source for news.